The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed in him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. The presentation of the Lord. I think of all of the many feasts and solemnities that we celebrate that pertains to Jesus, this is the one thing that puzzles us the most. What is it all about? It is easy for us to think of Christmas. Well, Christmas is the birth of Jesus. He came to save us. Easy. Easter, Good Friday. Well, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died for us so that we may gain eternal life. Easy. Well, how do you phrase the presentation of the Lord? What is it all about? I think one of the reasons why it eludes us, the heart and meaning of what we're doing, what we're celebrating today, is because there are many moving parts to this particular feast. For one thing, it talks of purification. It talks of presentation. It talks of the temple in Jerusalem. It talks of the blessing of Simeon. Well, what binds all of these things together? Well, let me unpack for you this particular feast. And so we begin with Luke telling us that the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem after 40 days. They went up to Jerusalem to the temple in Jerusalem to purify and to present the baby Jesus. Now, of course, you know that there's only one temple in Israel. There's only one temple in Israel, and that temple is in Jerusalem. Of course, there are many synagogues up and down Israel, but there's only one temple, and that's in Jerusalem. And this temple is believed by the Jewish people to be the dwelling place of God here on earth. And this temple is where humanity and divinity comes together in communion. And so all Jews, whenever they want to do a sacrifice, they will have to come to the temple in Jerusalem. And that's what the Holy Family were doing. Now, what's their business in the temple? Two things. First of all, Mary, the Blessed Virgin, she came to the temple to be purified. The reason for this is the law in the book of Leviticus, of course, written by Moses. The law in Leviticus says that a woman who gave birth to a child is rendered unclean. Now, if you're unclean, that means you cannot join the people of God in worship. You're like in those COVID years, you know, you're quarantined. You know, you cannot join the people of God because blood issued from you. And so they will have to wait 40 days if the baby born of that woman is a boy. 40 days. And so the Blessed Mother gave birth to a baby boy, so came to the temple after 40 days to purify herself. What if it's a baby girl? Then you double that. Your purification period will be 80 days. You have to wait for 80 days now. Don't ask me about the logic. That's just how Moses decreed it. Okay, so after 40 days now, the woman who's unclean will now go to the temple in Jerusalem to render her sacrifice so that she can be cleansed, so that she can once again join the people of God in worship. And what is she supposed to do? Well, the prescription of the law is that it should be a one-year-old lamb. Perfect. One-year-old perfect lamb, devoid of any blemishes. And that's what she offers to the Lord for her purification. If you cannot afford that, if you're poor, then you can offer to God turtle doves. That's what we heard here. That's the offering of the Blessed Mother. Now, one astonishing thing, if you have not caught it yet at this point, one astonishing thing is that the Blessed Mother offered something for her purification. She who was immaculately conceived, she who is pure, she who has no sin at all, being the ark of the covenant of God, she carried in her womb the source of all holiness. And yet, she went. She went and bowed down in humility and in respect of the tradition of His people. This is a wonderful lesson for all of us. Because many times we say, no, I'm not going to follow the rule of the church. You know, why should I? You know, I'm beyond that. You know, or say, why should I go to confession? I just go straight to God. But that's the rule of the Lord. That's a tradition. Shouldn't we follow the Blessed Mother? Just. So that's one of the moving parts. The purification of the Blessed Mother, even though she's pure. The other moving part is the part of Jesus. Now, once again, this is from the law of Moses, this time from Exodus. And the law of Moses states that all of the firstborn male, the words where it's here, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and to offer this and to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. So in ancient Israel, in the time of Jesus, all of the firstborn male is presented to the Lord, to be consecrated to the Lord. It means to be at the service of the temple, to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, essentially to become a priest of the Lord. That's what's happening here. Samuel did that when he was a boy. He was taken and presented to the temple, and he lived in the temple and served the temple. Surprisingly and mysteriously. Oh, by the way, why did they have to do that? Well, Moses gave an explanation. God gave an explanation. God said that, remember the time when the avenging angel came and slay all of the firstborn? Well, I saved all of your firstborn because they're holy to me. So that's the reason. And so they set apart their firstborn, give them to the Lord, consecrate to the Lord, and at the moment of their presentation, they will have to ransom back the son. They have to buy back the son, and the cost is 5 shekels. That's the presentation. Now, because, well, let's face it, who are the priests serving in the temple? Those are Levites. You have to be from the tribe of Levi to serve in the temple. Well, if your son is not, if you're not from the, you're not from the Levitical family, then you can just pay the 5 shekels, and a Levite will take the place of your son in service to the temple. I hope we're being clear up to this point. Okay, so here, surprisingly and mysteriously, Luke did not say anything about ransoming or buying back Jesus. There was no mention of that. Why is that? Precisely because Jesus, in his coming here on earth, even as a baby, will inaugurate and has inaugurated a new understanding of worship and a new understanding of the priesthood. What was the priesthood all about in the time of Jesus and in ancient Israel? Well, like we said, the priesthood was relegated to the tribe of Levi, and there's a good reason behind that. We will not get into that. But only the Levites can be the priest of the Lord. But through the years, however, there's been a lot of corruption in the temple. You know, God requires a pure sacrifice, a clean sacrifice that's worthy of Him, that's worth the dignity of the Lord. Well, the Levitical priests became lax in their priesthood. And so now they were allowing, you know, animals that are blind, that are crippled, oh, that will do, they will be burned anyway. And so they permitted all of that. And the Lord wasn't pleased with that. The second thing is, those who will sit on the throne of the high priest, they must be from the line of Aaron. Well, what happened was, it was no longer from the line of Aaron, but whoever has the money to buy it, whoever has a good connection, you can sit on the high priesthood. And we also know that at the time of Jesus, they converted the part of the temple, the court of the Gentiles, into a marketplace. That's why Jesus had to drive them all out of the temple. So all of these things are happening, and God was not pleased with what's going on. In the book of Ezekiel, God literally left the temple. And Ezekiel was witness to all of that. The Shekinah of God, the glory of God, the cloud that hovers over His presence, left the temple. And so from then on, Ezekiel was longing for a time when God will return to His temple and return back the glory that was once dwelling in that temple. And now enter Malachi, our first reading. Malachi was the last prophet. He was the last prophet to preach to the people of God. And being the last prophet, he articulated all of the longings of Israel, all of the prayers of all of the prophets. And so here we hear, suddenly there at the temple, you will see the Lord. Suddenly in the temple, you will see my messenger who will initiate a new covenant. That's the baby Jesus coming in. That's the baby Jesus entering and claiming the temple and establishing a new priesthood. That's why he was not ransomed back, because he's going to be a new priest. Now, what do priests do? They mediate between God and humanity. They stand at the breach. They offer sacrifice to God, and God, in return, give them the blessing through the priest. That is exactly what Jesus will do. But there's a great difference now compared to the priesthood of the Levites. Remember in the Levitical priesthood, what did they do? They offered to God burnt offering of fat lambs, of sheep and or goat or cereals from their harvest. They burn all of this so that the smoke will rise to God, and like the psalm said, let my prayer come to you like incense. Because this beautiful smell of this burnt offering, they hope will penetrate the presence of God and will give glory to God. But do you really think that the burnt offerings of animals will enter the presence of God? It was a good gesture, and God honors that gesture, but it's imperfect. Because those are animals. Those are animals. No one can enter the presence of God unless that being is divine. That is why Israel longed for the coming of the Messiah, because the Messiah will usher in an age where finally, they will offer to God a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice in spirit and in truth, a sacrifice worthy of the divine. That's what Jesus initiated in his priesthood. Because now we have a priest who offers himself, no longer the unblemished lamb, no longer the cows or the bulls. It is himself slain on the cross right there. That is the offering of the new priesthood now. And since he is human, he can die. Like the lamb, like the bulls, he can be slain. And exactly what happened to Jesus on Calvary, he was slain for us. But because he is also God, remember, in the person of Jesus, there's the coming together of two natures, human and divine. The divinity of Jesus Christ enables him to pierce through the Holy of Holies and to enter finally the tabernacle not made with human hands. That's why it's a perfect offering. That is why the new we rejoice in the new priesthood. What else is there in this new priesthood of Jesus Christ? We hear from the second reading, from the letter to the Hebrew, that the author of the letter to the Hebrew emphasized the fact that he was very much like us. What does that mean? It means he knows our tears. It means he knows our dreams and our longings. And because he can enter the very presence of God, he can whisper this to the ear of God and intercede for us effectively. That is our priest. That is the priest of the new covenant. What's more? Well, the new priesthood is such that it gathers all of us to be part of the great priesthood of Christ. See, in the ancient priesthood, in the Levitical priesthood, everything is segregated. Everything is defined. You're out there, and we are here, the Levitical priest, and God is somewhere there in the room, dividing the holy and the profane. When a priest enters, he needs to wash himself and purify himself and all of those wonderful things. In the new priesthood of Jesus Christ, he gathers all of us, that we are all now participating in his priesthood. See, you see me here as a priest of God, and Father Ricky and Father Gerald and all of the priests that you know, we are not priests unto our own. We only participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We stand in place of Him in a worship like this. At the moment of consecration, He comes to us in a real presence to offer Himself once again. What else? Like I said, He gathers all of us. All of the baptized are inserted into the person of Jesus Christ such that all of you have become priests as well. Remember what happened in your baptism. In your baptism, you were baptized into the office of Christ as prophet, the office of Christ as king, the office of Christ as priest. We are a holy nation. We are a people of priests. What does that mean? What does that mean when we say we are all priests of God? You know, we can stay here and spend an entire day talking about the theology of our baptismal priesthood. But suffice it to say that as priests of God, our primary task is to consecrate the world to Him. To consecrate the world by the very work that you do when you do it lovingly and in service for your fellow men and women. When you do work with the knowledge that it is a holy offering of your handiwork to the Lord. That's how you consecrate the world. Priests like me could not do it. You are the ones out there in the real world dealing with the minutiae of life. So you are priest. That priesthood becomes much more pronounced here at Mass. You see, we tend to think that, oh, the Mass is the function of Father Leo or whoever is celebrating here at Mass. No, you do not come here to be entertained. You come here to offer your sacrifice as priests. We all come together. I just lead the sacrifice. I just lead the worship. But you participate as well. You know, take for example the opening of the Mass. The opening of the Mass when the priest says, "Let us pray." Where there's silence. Let us pray. And there's silence. Well, that silence is supposed to remind you to bring to mind, what are you bringing here at Mass? What are your prayers? What are your tears? What are your joys? Bring them now. Remember that now. And then finally, the priest will pronounce the collect. After all of you have thought of your offering to God, the priest now collects all of these things and pronounces the opening prayer called the collect. In offertory, the gifts come forward, the gifts of bread and wine. Well, before it got to the threshold of this church, that bread and wine is represents hours and hours of laboring under the sun. It represents all of your toils, all of your dreaming that went into the production of that gift that we're bringing to God. You are a priest. And so it comes here, and when the priest prays over it and lifts it up to the Lord, that's on your behalf. Because this is the priesthood of the Lord. My friends, we can go on and on, but suffice it to say that that this feast should be a reminder of the holiness that is in all of us. Holy because we are priests of God. Holy because God calls us to be His holy nation, a people distinctly His own. May our participation at Mass today, especially in the receiving of His body and blood, make us remember, never to forget, that you are a priest of God, a son and daughter precious to Him.